Diego, Scott McKenzie. Man, that was a special time in life. That's San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury section of San Francisco. That was kind of weird. You look back now and it looks weird. It didn't look weird back then, though. It's exactly 7 o'clock. Let's check our news, right?
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Air Alaska passengers were sidelined last night by an IT outage. The entire fleet, as well as its Horizon Air aircraft, were grounded for about 3 hours. Flights resumed 2 a.m. Eastern, with residual delays continuing. Meantime, we're learning about a near miss over the upper Midwest.
SkyWest Flight 3788 from Minneapolis had just been cleared to land at Minot, North Dakota, when the pilot suddenly swerved, telling his shaken passengers he'd spotted a B-52 on an apparent collision course. It appears the B-52 was performing a flyover at the North Dakota State Fair that day. No further comment from the Air Force. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
The pilot telling passengers this is not normal at all. They're cleaning up after severe storms in the Midwest and Northeast. Crews clearing away fallen trees and branches in the streets of Beverly, Massachusetts. In Maryland, extreme flooding led to more than 100 water rescues in just 2 hours. The problem for many parts of the country today will be stifling temperatures. CBS meteorologist Andrew Kozak.
Millions and millions of folks across the midsection of the country and the south underneath excessive heat watches, warnings, and advisories.
Local officials say Israeli troops have killed and wounded dozens of Palestinians waiting for a food delivery. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says it is receiving desperate messages of starvation from inside Gaza. In a post on X, the UN said that food prices have increased 40-fold and that the UN has large stockpiles of food just outside Gaza, which Israel is not allowing to enter. The Gazan Health Ministry said at least 19 Palestinians in Gaza have died from starvation in the past 24 hours.
A new CBS News poll finds support for President Trump is falling. It's now at 42%. That's a double-digit drop since February. CBS's Jennifer DePinto.
Most Americans still want more focus from the administration on lowering prices than on tariffs. 64% disapprove of how Trump is handling inflation, the highest disapproval for him on that yet.
After the scandal at a Coldplay show last week that outed a couple of married co-workers, Morgan Wallen assured fans at a concert in Glendale, Arizona.
Out of here with their side chick or whatever. I think you're safe here.
Astronomer, CEO, and the head of the company's HR, who were caught on kiss cam at Coldplay's Gillette Stadium gig on Thursday.
Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Chris Martin didn't know it, but his first guess was correct. They're now both unemployed. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There's not just one old Y getting torn down. At one point, 401 Wisconsin Avenue housed the YMCA. That building is now being demolished to make way for a parking lot. It'll be under the purview of Dominion Properties, the operators of the adjacent Hotel Verdant. Demolition is expected to wrap up by September, with the new lot projected to open by November. The former downtown YMCA building on Lake Avenue, which closed in 2019, is also getting torn down. The city is planning to finish that work and clear the site by the end of October. The future of that property remains uncertain as officials seek ideas for redevelopment. The final standings for the fishing contest are in. The Salmon-O-Rama grand prize goes to James Schmidt, taking the top spot with a 29.5-pound Chinook salmon caught off of Port Washington. Randy Kisley was fishing from Racine and rounded out the top 10 with a 24-pound brown trout. Bridge closures start today on 6th Street in Racine. Construction crews are starting deck repairs on two key spans. The impacted sections run between Mound and Racine Street and between Marquette and Stannard. Detours are posted. The project aims to be wrapped up by mid-October. And the Kenosha Homecoming Car Show kicks off tomorrow. It starts a week celebrating the city's rich automotive history. Car collectors and fans will gather on day one for special cruise-ins at Danny's Cafe and the Danish Brotherhood. The event culminates with Saturday's massive show and swap meet at Kennedy Park. When the event was last held, nearly 800 Kenosha-made cars were on display. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
It's the Brewers and the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers landing in Seattle last night. They open a three-game set tonight against the Mariners. The Brewers, the hottest team in baseball. They've won 10 in a row. They beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-5 to complete a three-game sweep in L.A. Now the Dodgers get media coverage from Los Angeles and networks in Japan. A reporter asked Pat Murphy, how do you beat a World Series team with Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, with guys like Isaac Collins or Caleb Durbin?
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. No disrespect to great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name five players in our lineup. They can't name two in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, you know, the Dodgers are running into tough luck and they're not playing their best baseball and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, you know, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, you know, how they competed in big situations and, yeah, you know, a bunch of average Joes.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The weather is brought to you by Hog Lawyer, the lawyer who rides at 888-999-6644. Nothing shouts independence like the freedom and relaxation of the open road. But sometimes that road gets crowded, and unfortunately, accidents can happen in a split second on a motorcycle. So if you're ever injured or in an accident, phone the lawyer who rides, the Hog Lawyer, at 888-999-6644 and trust an experienced, compassionate, and aggressive attorney to protect your rights. That's 888-999-6644 or online at hoglawyer.com.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 75 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 66 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
I shouldn't complain about flying, though. I have ridden a bus in this country. That is not a good way to travel. I've ridden Greyhound. Last trip I took, there were like 45 people on the bus. I was the last one on. I took one look at these people. I felt like calling Unsolved Mysteries and going, yeah, I found everybody. Oh, there's extra ones here if you hurry. Call those guys from that show cops. I love that show. That's my only new reason to live. I tell you what, if you have a bad day, go home and watch Cops. You will immediately feel better about your life. I'm sitting on the couch watching that show thinking, well, at least I'm not a crack dealer in curlers running down the street. Greyhound is America's weirdo wagon. The kid sitting next to me is like 17. Nice enough kid. This is all I'd say the whole trip, though. You know what, lady? Life sucks. I think, well, probably because there's an earring in your eyelid. Probably hard to blink in the morning, isn't it, Satan?
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
And good morning. It is a special morning. We have our WRJN historical marker number 13. This is where we look back at the history of WRJN and the people that made the history over the last 98 years. And this morning, we're going to be talking to a young man whose father announced his birth on this radio station. We're going to be talking about Lyman Marins. And here he is talking about the birth of our special guest, David Marins.
And yesterday morning at 8:46, even I didn't know it was 8:46. We got at the hospital at 8:35. A boy was born to Mr. and Mrs. Lyman Marins of 2901 Ashland Avenue. Little boy, 6 pounds, 7 ounces. Come on in, George, have a cigar. Bill, come on in, boys, have a cigar. Let's open this fresh new box of stogies, hmm? Come on in, boy. Have a cigar.
Well, thank you.
On behalf of David Mark. George, come on in, George. All right, give one to George. George can't leave his controls. Shirley, come on in. Here's a box of candy. To all the new parents from the Block Furniture Company, including me, we extend congratulations and best wishes. Join us again tomorrow morning every day, Monday through Saturday at 7:40, when the Block Furniture Company, 419 Main Street, again presents The Little Red Book.
And that is our guest being born. That is something. I can't remember the last time I heard, had a guest on the radio. We actually had his birth. Hey, David Marins is here. Talking to you from Tennessee this morning. And thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it, David.
Well, thanks for having me, and I didn't know you were going to do that.
Neither did I. That was a surprise from our other guest in here, Tom Carco, former news director of WRJN for years. And he's going to talk about, he knows more about your father. We got a picture of your father staring me right in the face right now. And where'd you find
it? Oh, wow.
Where'd you get that, Tom?
Well, I've had that. Well, actually, David, I believe, gave that to me. Thank you, David. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. How about you?
Very good. Very good. We should let everybody know that I worked here from 1979 to 2018 for 39 years, and I'm kind of the historian now of the station. I have a lot of stuff reference the history of this radio station, part of it thanks to David and other things that I've acquired. So that's why I'm in here talking about stuff that's happened in the past.
You get that emeritus title now.
Yeah. There's nothing else.
Emeritus. All right, so David, let's talk about your father. Was this the first station he worked at? Do you know?
No, it wasn't, actually. After he graduated from high school in Chicago, and before he entered radio, he worked as a bookkeeper at the Chicago Stockyards for Armoring Company back then to earn money so that he could go to business school and broadcasting school. He always had an interest in broadcasting, and I think back then his big desire was to be the sportscaster on WGN Radio in Chicago. Of course, you got to have some experience to do that job, but he did apply there. And what's interesting about that is he actually started in radio at WHBY in Appleton, Wisconsin. And he was actually referred to WHBY by WGN. So I thought that was a kind of an interesting thing. And so that's where he started. He came to Racine in 1944 to work as a staff announcer at WRJN. And then he became the program director in 1946.
Why did he come to WRJN? There's a little bit of a story there.
Yeah, well, I guess when he started, he told me about it a long time ago. I still remember it. When he started at WHBY, they couldn't pay him a lot, and I think they promised him a raise maybe after he would be there for about a year. Well, the year came, and they couldn't afford to give him a raise, so they said they wouldn't blame him if he decided to look elsewhere, and they said they would give him a glowing recommendation and everything, which they did. And I guess he moved to Racine to get about another maybe $5 a week back then. I think he was making maybe $35 or $40 a week back then, he told me. And so, and he lived at the YMCA on the lake in Racine. For a number of years.
That's gone.
That building is now gone, David.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I was up there recently when I saw you, and yeah, I noticed that. it was come down. My dad always said the three sure things in life are death, taxes, and change.
Yeah.
Yep.
He comes to WRJN, which is located at the time on the third floor of the American Bank Building downtown, which is now the Racine Art Museum for everybody who's listening. And So eventually, of course, he transitions out to the current location of Victory Avenue Radio Park.
So he
gets this job, and it's really not long after, basically a year later, he gets to do something very important on the air, and it has to do with the former president.
Yeah, Franklin Roosevelt passed away. He got to announce that to the city of Racine, but there's a funny story behind that. And I talked to a Journal Times reporter after my dad had passed away, and we had to talk kind of quick because he was facing a deadline, and I had to send a quick picture. I wished I could have sent the better picture, but everybody was in a rush to get the story in the paper before the deadline came. And basically, he said he was in the car, you know, listening to the radio, and he heard the report come across on another station. So he tuned into WRJN, and he hadn't heard anything. So he drove over to the station. I forgot what show was on now, but anyway, he said the alarm bells were going off by the teletypes. I guess the Associated Press had reported it, and they had a bell, I guess, that would alert the station to a bulletin coming across. And I guess nobody heard it or paid attention to it because they were over in the studio area, and well, he came in with the bulletin and announced it to Racine that, you know, the president had passed away. And he said they probably wouldn't even know it today if he hadn't gone in there. He used to joke about that a little bit. So, but, yeah, and when he walked in, though, he kind of was shouting, hey, how come nobody's reporting this? The president just died, you know. So they didn't realize it, I guess, at the time. And I guess not too much time had gone by before he got to the station. But
yeah.
That's well, you got to be real careful on those reports, especially today, because you never know who's scamming you on these reports.
By today's standards, yes. Back then, that when you get it from the Associated Press, that was word.
The only thing I ever saw come over on a flash, I took two flashes, Nixon resigns, Challenger explodes. Two flashes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I happened to be driving into this station and heard about the Challenger explosion on another station, ironically. And guess what? At that point, we did not have it on the air. So I was like a block away from the station. And I got in and then told news director Don Edmark about it. And immediately we went to ABC News.
And those flashes generally come over like in two words. That's all they give you. Then they give you the bulletin. Then they give you the urgency after that. But yeah, nowadays, you got to triple check these things because you don't know who's scamming you.
Nowadays, yes.
Yeah.
So, David, August of 1945, your dad's at work downtown in the bank building. He's reading news, I believe, at the time. And all of a sudden, he starts getting teary-eyed. What's going on?
Oh, that one. That was when they had a tear gas system in that bank, I guess, to help thwart robberies. And they were maintaining the system that day. And apparently, they accidentally caused a tear gas release, and the broadcast control engineer, my dad, kept the station on the air while everybody evacuated the building.
Bernie Fox was the engineer. There's a picture of your dad in the Journal Times wiping his eyes. I believe we have it here. And it made the newspaper. It was that good. The tear gas system had been installed. This is 1945 this happened. It was installed after the Dillinger gang robbed that bank in 1933.
Right. Yeah, I remember him telling me about that, too. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that was on the front page of the Racine Journal Times at the when it was printed.
Yep.
Who tests tear gas?
I think it was more an accidental release.
I gotta believe it. Who tests that? Let's see if it works. Release the tear gas. Yeah.
But that's
somebody must have bumped the switch when they were working on it.
Yeah. That story made it all over the state of Wisconsin, probably outside over the wire services.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. If you look around, say, newspapers.com, you can find, like, UPI or AP stories about that.
No kidding. Yep. Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, it's a unique story. Very unique.
It sure is. Yeah.
Groundhog Day in 1949. Your dad talked to Brother Groundhog, as it was billed at that point, on shortwave. Do you know that story?
Mm-hmm. I heard a little bit about that, too. He also interviewed Santa Claus once.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've heard about that story, too, Groundhog.
They did all kinds of unique things to attract the listeners and get their interest in. And there was a caricature in the paper of your dad and the groundhog, an artist rendition, because they couldn't get a photograph of it. So they had an artist create it.
I think he kept a copy of that. I think I remember seeing that. And I probably still have it. I kept a lot of the things that he kept, because not only, you know, was it, yeah, I mean, it's historic, even to the, you know, to the town of Racine and to him and to the our family, you know, with his career there for so many years. So I held on to everything I could that he had. He always said, someday this stuff will be yours. Well, it became mine, and I've try to preserve it all as much as I can.
They couldn't get a picture of a groundhog, because you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Well, but this was the groundhog.
Really? Oh, this was the official groundhog.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your dad was here from 1944 to 1970. The announcer, program director, he did a lot of stuff with this radio station.
He did. You know, in 1947, he and one of the salesmen at WRJN originated the telephone quiz show You Can't Lose. And started out as a 15-minute show once a week, and then it became a Monday through Friday show that ran from about, I guess, 12:35 to 1:15 in the afternoon. And it was broadcasted all into the 1970s. I don't know how long that show kept going after he left, but I know it was on for a while. And I know the station gave away thousands of dollars in prizes over the years on that show. And because of that show, and it was in his, you know, earlier days of broadcasting, you know, he developed an easy style of, you know, talking with people and managed to get the most out of each conversation. And he also used to do Man on the Street programs featuring adults and children, and interviewed many prominent personalities and most presidential hopefuls as well when they came to Racine.
Let's listen to a segment of You Can't Lose.
And we're ready to drop some gift certificates your way with our first call this afternoon going out to a number 4. With whom am I speaking? Mrs. Bending, good afternoon. This is Lyman Marins calling from You Can't Lose over WRJN. Oh, dear, you say, why? You didn't expect me today? Well, shucks, I didn't know that, Mrs. Bending. How come you weren't expecting me today? Is this the first time we've ever called you? First time? Well, then you had reason not to expect me today. Have you known the answers to some of our questions in the past? Yes, you have, but you probably won't know the one we have today. Well, you're not going to like yourself when I tell you that we have $62.50. Oh, no, she shouts in the telephone.
Couldn't they put phone calls on the air back then? Who knows if there's really someone at the other end?
they really did it. And I guess eventually Stan Fisher or somebody came up with a way to make it two-way, you know, where you could hear the other end.
You were right. Well, very easy conversational style, very, very casual, just talking to folks.
Yeah.
Wow. So your dad, you talked about the man on the avenue. He did Uptown Racine, which outside the theater up there, which the theater building is still there. It doesn't. Uh-huh. It's not a theater anymore. But he would talk to people, Man on the Avenue in Uptown Racine, 1948. There's an ad promoting that. Just talking to shoppers in front of the theater and, you know, getting people on the air. And just, he talked to everybody. It was amazing times.
How did they do the remote of doing that?
Well, they had shortwave back then.
Is that
then
how they did it?
They did shortwave, or they did it by phone. They did Foley. Mm-hmm. Stan Fisher, and I think it may have been after Lee Deckent had left the station, but Stan Fisher was the chief engineer. I mean, mm-hmm. they strung phone lines everywhere. Downtown, uptown, you name it, they put phone lines. They also eventually brought in shortwave, which was a remote transmitter, basically, and you brought it back to the radio station, and they broadcast from different locations. So it may have been that. It may have been the phone lines. Don't know specifically.
It's a lot of work. Now we just use a cell phone and boom,
yeah, well,
you're on.
Yeah, now.
Wow.
Stan was an electronics genius, and he inspired me, along with some of the other engineers there, the broadcast control engineers, and eventually I ended up with a career in electronics myself. and a lot of my inspiration for that came from the radio station days, even when I was a little kid. Want to throw that in.
Stan Fisher, Lee Deckent, they did a lot of creativity in terms of equipment for WRJN over the years. And a lot of the equipment that came to the Radio Park site on Victory Avenue, a lot of it had been created by those two and continued after Lee Deckent left and Stan Fisher was in charge. So who knows? The rack that's in the back of this studio might be the same rack that Stan Fisher brought in 1957 when they moved here.
When you do the man on the street interviews, don't you take a risk going live with these things?
And there, yeah, no delay system, right?
Yeah. So you take a risk this person isn't going to say anything, you know, any profanity or even something controversial coming out of their mouth. You never know.
Different times, though.
Takes one nut.
I think there was a word called decency back then where most people, I mean, you pretty much rely that everything would go pretty smooth, but I suppose they were prepared in case it didn't.
Whoa. Yeah, you got to be careful.
There are a lot of photographs and ads in the newspaper over several years that your dad was here talking to different people. Also, for business promotion purposes, he would be in the pictures for the winners of Queen and King for a Day. You remember seeing those pictures?
Yeah, in fact, I think I've got one with me right here. I've got a few things here, but yeah, Queen for a Day, yeah.
Everything was to promote business back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of promotions, a lot of contests, and your dad was involved in pretty much all of them because he's the program director, so he's kind of running the show on from that end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he used to talk about some of those programs and he did save some of those newspaper ads and articles about the shows and you know these newspapers are starting to deteriorate, but they're still in pretty good shape considering how old they are.
Hey, David, I want you to hold on the line, okay? We'll take a quick break here. Don't go anywhere. We're talking to David Marins, whose father, Lyman Marins, worked for years. 26 years as program director, staff announcer here at WRJN. Made a lot of innovations and also made a big stamp on the history of this station. And that's why he is the subject of our WRJN historical marker today. Tom Carco joining us as well. David Marins, his son, is here. More coming up. First, an important announcement from our Vice President General Manager.
Recently, WRJN was advised by an attorney for the estate of Paul and Lynn Harvey that the rest of the story broadcast we've been airing were provided by a party that did not have the rights to issue us authority to air the program. We're working with the family's attorney now to return the rest of the story to WRJN, but until we can work those terms out, we're honoring the family's request to discontinue airing the rest of the story at this time. Again, we apologize. We know you look forward to hearing it every day at this time. But for now, we're going to follow the rules and work with the family in order to make sure our licensing and our ability to air Paul Harvey and the rest of the story is within all the legal limits.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, it's exactly 7:30. Let's check our morning news. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There is greater access to health care today in Racine. Pillar Health is opening up their new clinic at Julian Thomas Elementary School today. It's providing neighborhood-based primary medical care with a focus on students and families. It's officially called a federally qualified health center, and it allows for sliding fees and enhanced Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. The center will offer mental health counseling soon and will transition to a larger permanent community health hub in 2026.
The man accused of hiding the body of missing Antioch woman Megan Boas earlier this year has now been arrested by ICE. Jose Luis Mendoza Gonzalez was released by a Lake County judge on pretrial supervision earlier this year. Police say he stored Boas' remains in a container at his home in Waukegan for weeks until they were found in April. Local officials are urging a criminal trial in Illinois, arguing that deportation could mean that suspect walks free. Salmonorama has its winner. James Schmidt landed the biggest fish of the tournament, a 29.5-pound Chinook salmon caught off of Port Washington. The top 10 included anglers from all over the region, including Randy Kisley fishing from Racine. He took 10th place with a 24-pound brown trout. And it's now a recurring story. Hazy skies from Canadian wildfires and high heat. Cooling centers could be opening later in the week with highs hitting 90 and the heat index values over 100. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
While the United States gives the cold shoulder to our trade partners in Canada, they're turning their attentions around the world to find new friends. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says that Canada has implemented plans to restrict imports of foreign steel to try to help Canada's manufacturers that have been hit by tariffs imposed by the Trump administration. Nearly 90% of all Canadian steel is exported to the United States. Prime Minister Carney says that they have pledged to diversify their trade partnerships away from the United States.
The trade actions of the United States are transforming global dynamics and supply chains. We become too dependent on the United States as our biggest customer. We must diversify our trade relationships. And above all, we must rely more on Canadian steel for Canadian projects. We have the potential to become our own best customer during this time of change.
That's Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. He says Canada's open market policy has suffered from the dumping of cheap foreign steel products, largely from Chinese sources. But Carney's announcement was primarily made in response to the 25%, then doubled to 50% foreign tariffs imposed by President Trump. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning. So far, our grain trade looks halfway decent. I've got numbers next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese was up a penny at 166. 40-pound block cheese, quarter of a cent higher at 164 and a quarter, while AA butter dropped a penny and three quarters to 251 and a quarter per pound. August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 13 cents this morning, 1790. December new crop corn's down three at 424. November new crop beans down nine at 1027. September wheat's down two at 545 a bushel. I'm Pam Yonke.
The weather is brought to you by Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine. Phone 262-989-1001 or visit them online at buildingwaters.com.
There's still plenty of warm weather on the way, so make sure that you keep it cool all summer long and phone Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine to take advantage of their incredible $59 air conditioning tune and clean special. That's right, for just $59, the professionals at Building Waters will make sure that your AC unit is in perfect shape all season long. They're your one-stop shop, so give them a call today at 262-989-1001 or visit them online at buildingwaters.com.
WRJN weather.
mostly sunny today. We'll get to 75 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 66 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
I'm not afraid to tell you how old I am, but I'm going to give you a clue. I actually said this to my friends. I was at my friend's apartment, and I actually said to her out loud, "Boy, that's a nice pill caddy." That's how old I am, yes. I had to get a new pill caddy recently because my doctor gave me a new prescription, and I'm on so much medication that I couldn't jam one more pill into the compartment. So I had to go to CVS to the pill caddies and prosthetics aisle. And I don't know if you've shopped for this, but there's a whole hierarchy of pill caddies. You start with your entry-level pill caddy. It's the single-compartment pill caddy. Then you move into the AM, PM pill caddy. Then the AM, noon, evening pill caddy. Then the AM, noon, evening, bedtime pill caddy. Then basically you have to hire a caddy to hand you your pills all day and you pass out and die.
We are speaking with David Merens. His dad is Lyman Merens, who is very historical in the growth and the history of WRJN. We call this our WRJN historical marker. This is number 13. It's Lyman Merens. Now, Lyman is no longer with us, but his son David is. And with me is Tom Carco, who is our station historian, and he's very good at putting these history days together. Now, Lyman Merens, I wasn't even radio when he ended his career here at WRJN in 1970. I was still in high school. But we played earlier David Merens' birth announcement on the air, which I thought was amazing to have your birth. I mean, who's got that?
Your dad kept it.
Yeah, who has one of those? The earliest picture I have is me laying buck naked on a couch in the Bronx.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I have. And I know you don't want that image, so let's get that out of my head. All right, so we've been talking about Lyman Merens' career, and just to backtrack in case you're just joining us, he started here at WRJ in 1944 and wound up his career in 1970, started as a staff announcer, wound up as program director.
And chief announcer.
A chief announcer.
Don't forget that.
I know, they have that title, chief announcer, back then. And it's one of those things where he made a lot of innovations at the station. He put his mark on WRJN. And let's continue.
His voice was significant in the history of this radio station. So I got something July 1959. There's a citizen letter to Tex Reynolds, the columnist for the Journal Times at that point. And that citizen letter is in support of your dad and a bunch of coworkers here at the station. They want to plant peach pits along a street, and they wanted to call it Peach Tree Lane. Did you hear about that?
Maybe a little bit. I might have a story on that. And I recognize the name Tex Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Is one of the journalists at the Times. Yeah.
Who also did some work on this radio station. He would opinions of the passerby back in the earlier days.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Makes more sense to have that street in Atlanta than it does here.
Really?
just something they did on the air, I'm sure. Your dad did on the air, just to grab some attention, and maybe Tex Reynolds would get wind of it, and sure enough, it happened and got a little attention in the newspaper. Many different programs they tried to. I mean, they were helping people, they informing people. 1968, a jobathon. Your dad, and does the name Bob James ring a bell?
Yes, it does. I remember Bob.
Tell me about Bob.
Well, he was one of the, I would say, one of the newer members of the station when I remembered him. I remember when he came on board, my dad helped hire him. And he had a music program, Rhythm at Random, I think it was, or something like that, that he used to broadcast in the afternoon. I think he went on the air about the time my dad would leave at 3:30 in the afternoon. He would come into the station, and basically he took my dad's place during the late afternoon and into the early evening. And so I didn't always see a lot of him because he'd show up later in the day before my dad would leave. And, of course, I was in school during the week most of the time, unless it was a holiday. Sometimes my dad would bring me to the station on the holidays. And so then I'd see other people that I didn't normally see.
Who are some of the other staff members that you remember? You talked about Bob James here for a second. And who are some of the others that you remember from those earlier days?
Oh, there was Gary Sewer, of course, and Tony Simchek, and I remember them real well, and Bob James, I just mentioned, I remembered, Norb Trottier, yeah, I like Norb.
You couldn't help but like Norb.
I know. I remember him. He was at the station a long time, too, and he was there, I think, even, I don't know if he left at one time and came back. I something in the back of my mind said something like that, but I know he was there at the time my dad left in 1970 and was there for quite a while after that. My dad used to bring him mail from the AFTRA union that he used to get. And he'd bring it to Norb because my dad wasn't at the station any longer, but he would keep Norb informed in the station, informed those that were interested, you know, about some of the union information and activity.
Norb was here four different times over the course of his radio career. Always an interesting guy, always great stories. I got some of the best information and stories out of Norb. And I have an interview with him that I've recorded and gotten information from him. Also, the fact that you mentioned the union, this was a union shop for many, many years, up until a certain point in the 70s, I believe. And
when Century Insurance bought the station, and I think it was maybe part of the reason why my dad left when he did. I mean, my dad was working part-time in real estate from about 1955, even up until the time he left the station as a sideline. And you know, he loved people. He liked talking to people. He was a great real estate salesperson, very knowledgeable. You know, he got licensed and everything. He worked for L.L. Freeman back in 1955 for a while. And then eventually he ended up at, I remember in the 60s, he was at Plaza Realty across from Elmwood Plaza. Berger Hansen ran or owned Plaza Realty, was the broker. And that's where my dad met a future partner, where the two of them built homes in Racine. I mean, they started the homes over by Halter's Lake off Chicory and started homes up on Meacham Road, south of Taylor Avenue. He built about five or six homes there. And we eventually moved out near that area too, over on Sherry Lane in Pleasant Valley, which was Hanchy's property. And I know, Tom, you don't live too far from there. And
back then and now.
Yeah, man, you were our paper boy, I remember, on Sherry Lane, which helped me. You let me substitute for you, so eventually I ended up with a route myself. So you started my career, Tom.
We were eventually going to get to that. Yeah, so David and I had a connection that I delivered the newspapers to their house, and then he became my substitute, and then he eventually got the route. So
did he steal the route, or did he get the route?
I always wondered if your dad might have talked about it. I don't know. My dad knew your dad for a long time. I know your dad was the circulation manager at the Journal Times, and my dad used to talk about him. I mean, they know each other for quite a long time.
I remember the
Journal Times Labor Day picnics, you know, with the corn roast. Oh, that was my favorite thing. Yeah. I ate more corn than anybody, I think.
When the JT owned the radio station, yes, they did things together in terms of those extracurricular activities. Yes, they were a family.
It was all part of one thing.
Yes. Yep. You mentioned Elmwood Plaza. July 1958, your dad's there to broadcast the grand opening of the JCPenney store in Elmwood Plaza. There's a picture of him doing that.
Yeah, he told me he interviewed Penny at one point. And I don't know if it was at that grand opening or another time, but he actually interviewed JCPenney.
Wow.
Yeah.
1959, it got something. Your dad's did recorded interview. Now, your dad did stuff outside of just the Racine area. Your dad was invited to do some things in Washington, in outside of the country. Interviews with Wisconsin's two U.S. senators and Racine's congressman at the time on the exchange visits by President Eisenhower and the Russian premier Nikita Khrushchev. He did interviews with those officials and then played it back on the air when he got back to Racine.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember he interviewed a commander of an aircraft carrier, too. I've got the tape from that, by the way. I don't know if you found any of that in any of the archives, but I did find the tape. I hadn't played it, but it's labeled, you know, the aircraft interview. And I've got pictures from that aircraft interview. He took my mom with at the time, and I think it was back in maybe the late 50s or possibly early 60s. I don't remember the dates on that, but it's old. And I guess the whole interview's on that reel-to-reel tape.
Hey, David, hold on just a second. We're talking to David Marins. He's the son of Lyman Marins, who was a staff announcer, chief announcer, and program director. Got to get the chief in there. And program director of WRJN for many years until 1970. It's our WRJN historical marker number 13, and we're sharing the morning with Tom Carco as well, our station historian. The AMC, was there an AMC radio show here? Was it, what would they call it?
The American Motor Show. There was, and I don't, the exact year it started, I do not remember offhand.
But it was on the air here.
Eventually, yes.
Okay, and that leads us into this.
WRJN is your official information destination for the Kenosha AMC Homecoming. After 3 long years, it's back. A week-long celebration of Kenosha's iconic automotive legacy. It all starts tomorrow night at 4 with the opening cruise-in at the Danish Brotherhood Lodge on Sheridan Road. Then, all week long, get your fill of classic car excitement. High-speed thrills with AMC racing. A special evening cruise-in at the original AMC factory site. The Friday night parade and downtown block party. A massive swap meet full of vintage finds. And it all wraps up with the world's largest AMC car show at Kennedy Park. Go to WRJN.com for a complete listing of AMC homecoming events. And stay tuned to WRJN for each day's can't-miss events. Powered by Scoops Ice Cream and Candy. Keeping Kenosha in the summer spirit. Anaya's Auto Repair. Diagnose it. Fix it. Done. And the brand new station on 6th, where good times are always on duty. Local news and timeless hits for your timeless ride. WRJN.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Home is where the heart and the care should be. Senior Helpers of Racine help your loved ones age safely, right in the comfort of their home. From Alzheimer's and Parkinson's care to companionship and personal support, Senior Helpers' trained caregivers create flexible care plans tailored to your needs. With a free, no-obligation in-home interview to help families make informed choices, fostering peace of mind. There's no place like home and no team like Senior Helpers. Visit seniorhelpers.com/WI/Racine.
When words fall short, let Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha speak for you with stunning floral arrangements. For birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and corporate events, let their breathtaking bouquets and elegant designs set the perfect tone. Include indulgent DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle featuring relaxing scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
seen Raiders continue their quest for another consecutive championship. The league playoffs are underway, and Saturday night, the Raiders travel to the Motor City Rams for the second round of the playoffs. 5:45 is the pregame, 6 o'clock is the kickoff. We've got Racine Raider football playoff action Saturday on your home for the Racine Raiders, WRJN.
Maestro theme being played by Chuck Grimmel at the keyboard of the Mighty Wurlitzer, introducing today's Music Maestro show, music for your afternoon listening enjoyment. Organ Stallings by Chuck Grimmel and a musical favorite guest on the Music Maestro show.
It's our WRJN Historical Marker series. We continue number 13, Lyman Marins, and his son is joining us today, David Marins. And Tom Karko is here as well, a former news director at WRJN. And let's talk about that, what we just heard.
David, you talk about it. You gave me that piece of audio. Thank you again.
Wow, and I'll tell you, that's another one of the things at the radio station that really shaped my future life as an adult and a career. That was the Music Maestro show, and Chuck Grimmel was the owner of John Charles Music Company in Racine. And I guess I started learning to play a chord organ when I was about 3 years old, matching numbers and letters instead of reading the notes themselves. And eventually, I guess my dad had told Chuck about it, and Chuck thought, gee, you know, maybe you should buy an organ and let him take lessons. Well, my dad eventually did that, and I not only was interested in learning to play, but eventually I also got interested in promoting the sale of Wurlitzer organs and pianos, but mostly organs back then, and Chuck used to use me, I guess. I don't know how else to phrase it. I didn't know what they were doing at the time. I was pretty young, but even he brought me, you know, my dad brought me to the station. He thought maybe I'd want to, you know, play a couple songs on the radio back in 1965, first time I did that. And I guess I learned later, well, that was a good way to promote organs. You know, here's this kid playing, and hey, if a kid can do it, an adult can do it.
Were you
anyway,
learn
to play.
Were you on the air with your father a lot?
Not a lot, at times. And eventually, as I started to learn to play more and played better, he would bring me in on the holidays. You know, Chuck would be off, and, you know, and so that they could have some live organ music. I'd come in and play a few songs, you know, on the radio to fill in that live music time slot. And here's a little history, Tom, about the Music Maestro show. You know, the Chuck wasn't the first live organist at that station.
Oh, no.
There was a gentleman named Orson White who used to play on the Venetian Theater organ when the organ was still installed at the Venetian Theater. Back in the 40s and 50s, they'd have live organ music, you know, wired into the station downtown there to where they could broadcast live music from the Venetian Theater organ. And Orson, when he retired, before he retired, he was a Hammond dealer, sold Hammond organs out of Milwaukee, and had a partner, Irv Gerlot, who I think was also associated with the station back then. I mean, he may have performed there as well, the two of them, but Orson White was the main organist. In fact, the organ you heard at the beginning of the show on the Little Red Book, that was Orson White playing the Venetian Theater organ. They made a recording of that, and that theme was broadcasted every morning, even through the 60s, and as long as that program ran until they probably made a change to that. But that was Orson White on that theater organ.
So you were one of the staff organists at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Orson, my dad told me to go down, and he moved to Sarasota. And when we used to vacation down in Florida almost every year, my dad always wanted to stop by and see him because they were really good friends. When my dad was working back in the 40s there, and I guess he and Orson and Orson's family, they used to hang out a lot together. And so they became really good friends. And so we used to visit him when we go to Sarasota. But when we moved to Florida back in 1973, and I got interested, you know, the one of the largest Wurlitzer dealers in the United States was right where we were living. And boy, I was interested in that place. And my dad told me to go talk to Orson to see what kind of future I might have in the music business. And Orson actually encouraged me. So again, you know, the radio station was a big part of my life and my dad's time there and the people he knew. I mean, it was an influence for me as well. And but anyway,
hey, David, were you a big celebrity at school?
Because was I a big,
well, your dad's on the number one top.
Really. Yeah. I mean, people knew who my dad was, but you know, my dad always kind of downplayed the celebrity side of it, and he taught me. He says, you know, it's a job like any other job, and you know, I even to this day, you know, when I see celebrities, I don't go too crazy. Although there are certain people you'd go crazy for anyway, but. But I understand it's a living. People make a living doing different things. And he says this is just another way to make a living. And that's the way he always looked at it. And he says he, you know, and the station provides the service. And you know, and he was at the time one of the faces of it, not the only one.
Yep.
And so that's the way I was kind of taught to look at that kind of thing.
We're going to play something now that your dad did by phone from Florida in December of 2006. We called him up, and he was on the radio station's 80th anniversary broadcast that we did from Memorial Hall.
We had live music. We had Orson White at the Venetian Theater organ. We had Elizabeth Grabo on a violin. We had Bessie Mittler playing a piano. We had live people. Do you have live people anymore?
Yeah, oh yeah, we still have a few live people around the radio station, yes. The radio station was always geared at the community service, right. Getting out and about, right?
Right. We used to have a man on the street broadcast right on the corner.
You ever have any interesting occurrences with a man on the street segment?
Right offhand, I can't think about it, except when General MacArthur came through town. We had an elaborate setup on Main Street waiting for the general to stop, and he blew town as fast as he came in. And boy, he came through with his sunglasses, and everybody said, "Who is that?"
Well, the three of us are alive, you know, so that's good.
Now, your dad was very gracious to do that, and we appreciated that very much. You were here. You came to visit the Radio Park Studios as they exist today, mm-hmm. not long ago, and I'm curious what your impressions of the place were or are compared to what you remember.
Well, first, I was happy to see it was still there and still going strong and about to celebrate 100 years in existence, which is incredible in itself. And my impression, like my dad always said, things change. Well, it's funny, though, when Don was showing me and my two grandsons were with me, we took a trip. I wanted to show them where I came from, and it was very nice of you, Tom, to when I talked to you about the 100th anniversary coming up a little bit. And you helped set that up for us. You called Don Rosen, and then he contacted me, and we made an appointment to take a tour, which was very nice. And I remember meeting Don a long time ago when my dad and I were up there. I think it was when one of my uncles passed away, and I drove him up to Racine, and that was the first time he'd set foot in that station since he left in 1970. you know, when that union mail would come to our mailbox and he'd bring it to the station and want to give it to North Trottier, he'd send me in to give it to him. For some reason, he just, I don't know, he loved the radio station and everything, but it was just, you know, at the time, he just felt it better that he'd stay out in the car, and he let me take it in. So I used to get to talk to Norb a little bit when I did that.
David, your dad was one of the most recognized voices in this station's history, and his body of work proved it. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, David. I do appreciate it. All the way from Tennessee. That's interesting. You couldn't do that back in Lyman Marin's days, could you?
I guess not.
Stan might have figured it out.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom Carco. I love having you in here. Station historian. Can't do these without you, by the way. There's no way I was going to pull this off. David, thank you very much for coming in. It's our WRJN historical marker number 13. And hopefully we'll have some more. You know, we got to get these in because not everybody's around all the time. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, David. Hey, coming up, we've got some more local news, timeless hits right here at WRJN. Right now, it's exactly 8 o'clock. Let's do the news.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A terrifying near miss in the sky over the up